Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
I've already asked our city engineer to give up a five-year plan for that, and I hope they initiate that. So just one way that we can make our city better.
Ashland's outgoing mayor, Chuck Charles, is hoping the city's next mayor will go along with a capital improvements plan.
Kentucky's Republican representatives have chosen the new Speaker of the House, who will take over in January.
And federal money is now available as efforts to extinguish wildfires in the state intensify.
In sports, the Ravens and the Browns face off in Thursday night football.
But Luke will bring us the stocks.
Clear skies tonight with lows around 40 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A man has been sentenced to 30 months in prison and fined $7,800 in connection with the July death of an Aberdeen resident. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports Timothy Fain was sentenced for involuntary manslaughter in Brown County Common Pleas Court in the death of Ira Anderson. The fine will be paid to the victim's family. Police said that Anderson died at a city Cincinnati hospital following a fight with Fain at a residence on Locust Street. During the altercation, Anderson reportedly fell and hit his head. Fain was also sentenced to a concurrent term for possession of heroin.
For those caught violating the U.S. Forest Service's ongoing campfire and open flame ban in the Daniel Boone National Forest, the penalties are severe. The ban was enacted recently because dry fall conditions, which have increased the danger of wildfires. Melissa Eunice is a spokeswoman for the Forest Service. She says any person caught around a campfire outside of approved metal fire rings and pedestal grills will be fined $300.
In addition, those people or groups responsible for causing a wildfire could be held liable for suppression costs. And suppression costs can be extensive with all the firefighting resources we need, especially with the dozers and helicopters or any kind of aircraft. That gets quite expensive.
According to Eunice, should you start a wildfire, even if it's an accident, you face felony charges.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency has authorized funds to reimburse Kentucky for the cost to combat a fire in Breathitt County. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
The Eagle's Nest Fire began on November 2nd and has destroyed over 2,000 acres of state and private land. It's threatening around 1,100 homes around the city of Jackson, which has just over 2,100 residents. Kentucky have requested a fire management assistance grant, which FEMA approved Tuesday. The authorization makes funding available to reimburse 75% of the eligible firefighting expenses for controlling the blaze. Eligible costs can include labor, equipment, and supplies used for fighting the inferno, and the costs for emergency work such as evacuations, sheltering, police barricading, and traffic control. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Ashland City Commissioners have brought back former city manager Steve Corbett to serve as interim manager until they choose a new chief administrator. The action enables attorney Sonny Martin to return to his law practice. Martin has been interim manager for the past 9 months since the resignation of Benjamin Bitter. City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson thinks it's a good move.
Yes, I do, and I think that Corbett has indicated he wants to do this 3 or 4 months, and the new city commission will select a new city manager, which I will not be a part of.
That's because Gunderson was defeated in his re-election bid last Tuesday. He served on the four-member panel for 26 years. Two new commissioners and a new mayor will be involved in choosing Ashland's next city manager.
Ashland's outgoing mayor says he's leaving the city in good financial shape. Chuck Charles thinks that's among his top achievements over the last 4 years.
When I first came in, we were at $1.2 million in our reserves, and they were using the reserves to help make payroll. And we've turned it all the way around in 4 years. Now we have about $5.6 million in our reserves. But I can take that a little bit further, and I hope the new mayor does also. The money that we were putting in there yearly through the budget to extend those reserves, now we can take that money and we can do a five-year strategic plan.
Charles says he has already asked the city engineer to submit such a plan to improve Ashland's infrastructure. The incumbent was defeated Tuesday in his quest for a second term.
The man who will take office in January as Ashland's next mayor says there are a couple things he'd like to do right away. Steve Gilmore says improving the business climate is at the top of that list.
You know, one of the things is being more business friendly, address some of the regulatory and fees that we've got on our local businesses. It's very difficult to start a new business in Ashland. We make it difficult. Shouldn't be that way. That's one of the first things we're going to talk about when I take office and meet with code enforcement, meet with our planning and zoning about of all the regulations we're putting on existing businesses, as well as trying to make it more inviting for people to come into town.
Gilmore says he also wants to scour the budget well in advance of next year's budget process to identify places where the city could save money.
State Representative Rocky Adkins wants the state legislature to review the way it divides up its higher education funding. As it stands, the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville get a combined over $400 million a year from the state. Morehead State and the Commonwealth's four other regional universities receive considerably less money. Adkins is a Democrat from Morehead. He says that's not fair, especially when you consider that UK and U of L also have revenue-generating hospitals.
The funding issue is a big issue that we've got to address, and we've got to look at, and we've got to make sure that we're giving Morehead State University the same competitive advantage that anybody else has, because at the end of the day, it's about the students, and it's about the opportunities they have when they attend here to make sure that we can compete not only here in Kentucky, but all through the United States and all around the world in this international and global economy.
MSU received a $42 million state appropriation this year. Adkins says more money would allow Morehead State to educate more students in its service region. He believes that would help lift Eastern Kentucky's sagging economy.
With Republican control of the Kentucky House and Senate, Governor Bevin is eyeing yet another new Board of Trustees for the University of Louisville. Will Clark reports.
With GOP control of both chambers, Governor Bevin expects his executive orders to be acted on, including his push to reorganize the U of L Board of Trustees.
I think that's a perfect example of one that will. I mean, and what we see is we've got courts that have tried to play games for no really good constructive purpose. They've just held up things that, frankly, now will be done.
Bevin's previous attempt to install a new board was short-lived before Judge Philip Shepard struck it down and put the previous board back in place. I'm Will Clark.
A turnout of 60% for Tuesday's election has Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis optimistic. Davis hopes local residents will display that same kind of civic engagement in the county's next election cycle.
Most definitely. 2017 is a free year for us, so we'll have no elections. But then Katie barred the door for 2018. You know, that's all the countywide elections, so that'll be interesting.
Some 8,985 Rowan Countyans showed up at the polls for Tuesday's election. There were also nearly 400 absentee ballots. There are more than 14,000 registered voters in the county.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says his chamber will move quickly to repeal Obamacare as a result of Donald Trump's presidential victory. The Kentucky Republican congratulated Trump and said the result of the election is a clear indication that Americans are ready to dump the health care law.
It was the single worst piece of legislation among many bad pieces of legislation passed in the first 2 years of the Obama presidency. The sooner we can go in a different direction, the better. And I know the Speaker shares my view that we would like to see the country go in a different direction and intend to work with him to change courses, to change the course for America.
McConnell says repeal of the Affordable Care Act is high on the GOP's agenda.
Republican lawmakers in the Kentucky House of Representatives have nominated a leader as they prepare to take control of the chamber. Paul Miles reports.
The new Republican supermajority voted in a caucus meeting to nominate veteran lawmaker Jeff Hoover as Speaker of the House. Hoover represents the 83rd District in Jamestown, and he has served as the top Republican leader since 2001. The GOP took control of the Kentucky House in this week's historic elections. Republicans now fill 64 of the chamber's 100 seats. I'm Paul Miles.
Democratic State Representative Jim Wayne says he's worried about the future of the Commonwealth. Louisville lawmaker says it's not good for one party to control both houses of a legislature and hold the governor's office, too.
It's not healthy for the Commonwealth to have all the executive branch and all the legislative branch controlled by one party. The thing we need to be concerned about are checks and balances on the governor, because this governor is already testing his power in a lot of different ways.
Wayne was reacting to the Republican Party's sweeping victories in Tuesday's election throughout Kentucky. The GOP now has supermajorities in both the House and Senate.
Its president says the Kentucky Farm Bureau is ready to work with the state legislature on tax reform should the General Assembly decide to take up the issue next year. Mark Haney says Kentucky's tax code should be revised to ensure a more competitive business climate. However, he says it's vital that the Commonwealth maintain its sales tax exemption for food and agricultural products and for items purchased for the production of food.
We stand firm on the fact that when we talk about sales tax and sales tax exemption on agriculture inputs, you've heard that from us many, many times before, but it's certainly so important to us that we can't take on a 6% increase in our production and be able to pass that through.
Haney outlined the Farm Bureau's legislative priorities for 2017 during testimony Wednesday before the House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Agriculture Committee.
Grayson's mayor has agreed to a proposed change in the town's alcohol laws. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, Mayor George Steele this week approved a significant adjustment to Grayson's alcohol laws. This was after the city council voted last Tuesday to extend the sale of alcohol by the drink by 1 hour to 1 a.m., along with allowing Sunday sales to begin 2 hours earlier at 11 a.m. Steele said that he is not against these changes and agreed to sign off on the action if they receive approval from city council in a second reading. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
People fighting addiction in the tri-state area now have a new place to seek help and recovery. The Boyd County Addiction Resource Center officially opened its doors on Saturday and currently houses 5 men, all of whom have just gone through recovery or faced jail time. Rob Oldham is the founder of the facility, soon to be known as Olive Branch Recovery. He says the program is about helping those struggling in addiction to transition into society and make better decisions.
That's what we plan on doing, is help people quit the recidivism and, you know, in jails and in prisons. And, you know, our future depends upon, or our community depends upon, you know, people getting better. And then hopefully that person can help someone else. You know, and then that person can help someone, that domino effect.
Olive Branch Recovery plans to open a second facility for women. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction and is interested in the program, contact Oldham at 606-923-9512.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles says his hunger task force is making progress. He says the panel will meet again before Thanksgiving to draft recommendations for combating food insecurity issues statewide.
We completed over 10 meetings across the state. It's brought together people who may not have known that they could play a part in addressing hunger in Kentucky to the Department of Ag. It's been good, and we've involved the farmers that have put those seeds in the ground, to our livestock producers, to our research universities, our school lunch programs.
Quarles says the coalition has also included church and charitable organizations, as well as restaurants. He thinks the comprehensive approach will make a difference. Your weather for tonight: clear with patchy frost near dawn, lows around 40 degrees. On Veterans Day, which is Friday, sunny, patchy frost early, highs in the upper 50s. On Friday night, mostly clear with patchy frost late, lows in the lower 30s. And on Saturday, sunny with patchy frost in the morning, highs in the lower 50s. In Ashland right now, it's 62 degrees. Flemingsburg, 60 degrees. Inez, 60 degrees. Lexington, 61. Winchester, 60. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 60 degrees.
The time is 4:44. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg. We're glad you're with us. It's Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, Moorhead State University professor Rick Carrick talks about why Donald Trump won the presidency and what that might mean for the future.
On Tuesday night, Republican Donald Trump won more than 270 Electoral College votes and therefore is president-elect of the United States. Hillary Clinton received about 200,000 more popular votes than Trump, which means nothing in terms of deciding who won, but which will make Trump's claims to have a popular mandate less credible. Trump won because a lot of his bets came in. During his campaign launch in June 2015, Trump initially bet that pledging to build a wall on the southern border and calling Mexicans rapists and murderers would galvanize his candidacy during the Republican primaries. And it did. Trump also bet that holding mass rallies would be the most effective way to attract and motivate supporters to his candidacy. And it was. Trump's rallies became a vehicle for threatening violence at the Republican convention if GOP leaders worked to prevent his nomination. The threats appeared to have identified Trump's voters even more closely with him personally, and Trump's rallies became festivals of intimidation featuring chants of "lock her up" and "hang her." In a certain way, Trump's rallies were like the Billy Graham revivals of the 50s and 60s, where Graham brought Christian white people closer to the Jesus they craved through the magnetism of his performance. Trump helped rural and exurban whites embrace their own attraction to racial and gender violence. Finally, Donald Trump bet on pandering. Trump had no history of interest in the evangelical religion of the religious right, but that wasn't a problem. During the primary campaign, Trump announced that he was committed to defunding Planned Parenthood, reversing gay marriage, and overturning Roe v. Wade. Further, Trump released a list of 20 hardcore conservatives out of whom he would nominate Supreme Court justices. Before running for office, Trump had shown little interest in social issues, but that didn't matter at all because the religious right cared much more about Trump pandering to their racism, hostility to gay people, and opposition to women's reproductive rights than they cared about authentic Christianity. Trump is the least authentic religious person you could possibly imagine, tells more lies in a day than Hillary Clinton has told in the last 50 years, and welched on more business commitments than most people ever actually make in their lifetimes. But the religious right not only accepted Trump as a Christian and claimed that he was God's candidate for president, but also saw him as being a Christ figure himself. That's the power of telling people what they want to hear. Outside actual serial killers, Donald Trump is one of the worst possible people to be president of the United States. Trump's not just a fraud, he's obsessive about scamming people. And there is a long list of businesses like Trump University whose sole object is fraud. Then there's his equally obsessive sexual assaults on the women he dealt with in his businesses, his Peeping Tom act with contestants at his beauty contest, both of which he bragged about, his punching his son for not dressing in a suit to see a Yankees game, and the gold-plated narcissism of his penthouse suite at the Trump Tower. However, Trump bet that his political strategies would bring out the ugly American in his rural, white, and religious constituencies, and he was right. What's going to happen next? My own view is that there will be an Arab Spring-type social rebellion in the U.S., the American Spring, and that it will be in full force before Trump is inaugurated. I'll be supporting the protesters, but whatever happens, the election of Donald Trump means we'll be living in interesting times.
Dr. Carrick is a professor of international and interdisciplinary studies at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition on MSPR. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up after a brief timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Top Drink Johnson Central will continue its planned march to a state Class 4A football title tomorrow night. The Golden Eagles will host Greenup County, who they beat 44-8 during the regular season. But looking ahead, head coach Jim Matney says that doesn't mean anything to his team.
We take one game at a time, and we don't look towards the next week. And we kind of prepare for each opponent in the same manner. I mean, we really don't care who the opponent is. We're going to do our same thing. We're going to try to prepare the very best we can. And so, you know, in this situation, that's just the way we're going to take this one, too.
Elsewhere, Raceland is at Nicholas, Fairview travels to Painesville, Fleming is at Belfry, and Ashland Blazer is on the road at Bourbon County. 18 Morehead State seniors will play their final game at Jane Stadium on Saturday as the Eagle football team entertains Campbell. Defensive tackle C.J. Wall is one of them. Wall says the 6-3 Eagles are determined to beat the Camels and Davidson next weekend so they can finish 2016 with a three-game winning streak.
Definitely very important, not only for the seniors to go out on a great finish, but set up for the future of Morehead State football. There's a lot of young guys in this program, and I think that would set them in the right direction for years to come.
Campbell is 4-4 overall. Saturday's PFL battle kicks off at 1 p.m. Louisville's fifth-ranked football team is looking forward to a 7 p.m. ACC battle Saturday against Wake Forest at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. U of L coach Bobby Petrino says the Cards are well aware that the Demon Deacons have a very active defense.
It reminds me a little bit of North Carolina State, where it's the exact same guys we played against last year. So we know them very well, and they're rushing the passer well. They're one of the leading teams in sacks, and they create some turnovers. So it's going to be important for us to take care of the ball.
5-4 Kentucky will try to become bowl eligible with a win at Tennessee on Saturday. AFC North rivals Baltimore and Cleveland square off tonight on the Ravens turf for Thursday Night Football. AP correspondent Craig Heist reports.
The Ravens enter tonight's game with the Browns 4-4 looking to take control of the AFC North. The Ravens snapped a four-game losing streak 4 days ago with a 21-14 win over the Steelers, but they know they can't take the 0-9 Browns for granted. The Ravens beat the Browns back in Week 2, 25-20, but not before falling behind 20-0 in the first half. Rookie Cody Kessler will get the start at quarterback for Cleveland as he came back from a concussion last week to face the Cowboys in a 35-10 loss. The Browns have given up at least 25 points in each of their 9 losses. Craig Heist, Baltimore.
The 2016-17 season for the Morehead State men's basketball team starts tomorrow night at Johnson Arena with a contest against Kentucky Christian. Coach Sean Woods has led the Eagles to 75 wins, including 23 last season, over the last 4 years. Woods says the next step for his program is to capture an OVC title.
Hopefully we can, you know, do that. You know, we're beating down that door. Sooner or later it's got to open for us, because I think we've been playing some pretty good basketball for the last 2-3 years going into it. And we've done everything here except for doing that. So I think that, you know, once we do that and get that kind of monkey off our back a little bit, you know, we'll be exactly where we need to be.
The Eagles game against KCU tips off at 7:45. The Morehead State women's basketball team opens the season by hosting this weekend's Donna Murphy Classic at Johnson Arena. Coach Greg Todd's squad will take the floor at 5:30 tomorrow evening to take on Georgia State.
We expect a very good game. They will play a lot of zone defense. They'll have a little more size than we'll have inside, and they have some good guard play, and I think it'll be an up-and-down game.
Georgia State went 10-19 a year ago, including a 99-90 loss at home to the MSU women. The University of Kentucky basketball team tips the new season off Friday night. The Wildcats host Stephen F. Austin at 7 o'clock in Rupp Arena, with 3 games in the first 5 days of the season and a non-conference schedule that includes matchups against teams such as Michigan State, North Carolina, UCLA, and Louisville. Head coach John Calipari says he expects his young squad to struggle early on.
We probably did overschedule. You know, you talk about some of the teams that we're playing. Even your first game is against a team that's been to 3 NCAA tournaments back-to-back-to-back, who will come in here with the idea that they're beating a young team. It's going to be rough. I'm just anxious to get started.
As for the Louisville Cardinals, they host Evansville on Friday at 7 in the Yum Center. Jaquan McCauley and Cedric Wright both signed national letters of intent with the Morehead State men's basketball program today. McCauley, a 6'6 forward out of Tyler Junior College in Texas, averaged 8 points and 4 rebounds a game last season. He says Eagles fans can expect to see a lot of energy from him.
Play real hard, never give up on any play. Just high motor.
Wright is a redshirt freshman at Chipola Junior College after redshirting during his freshman season at the University of San Francisco. In high school, he averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds a game. And finally in sports, John Calipari has landed his first commitment of the 2017 recruiting class. Five-star center Nick Richards announced this afternoon that he has committed to Kentucky, choosing the Wildcats over Arizona and Syracuse. The 6'11 Richards is ranked as the 17th-ranked player in the class, according to Scout.com. He says he's looking forward to getting on Kentucky's campus.
I know it'll be a challenge, not only on the basketball court, but also in the classroom. I promise to work equally as hard in both places.
The Cats may not be done on the day, though, as the 14th-ranked player in the class, P.J. Washington, is set to make his college decision at 6 o'clock this evening, and many experts expect Kentucky to land the 6'7 power forward as well. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle football will play their final home game of the season, hosting Pioneer Football League opponent Campbell University at 1 p.m. Saturday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed as investors repositioned portfolios following the presidential election. And the Dow Industrials actually finished with a very nice gain of 218.19 to finish an all-time closing high of 18,807.88. The broader market not as strong. The S&P 500 was up 4.22 at 2167.48. And the NASDAQ Composite was actually down 42.28, finishing at 5208.8. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 8-7 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Your technology sector in particular was hurt today by the so-called FANG stocks of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet, as all four stocks fell today. And, of course, Alphabet is the parent of Google. And, of course, these stocks were very strong heading into the election. And many analysts are saying that the recent rise in interest rates is in particular hurting the FANG stocks because they are considered highly valued by the market and are trading at a very high valuation. Bank stocks were, again, winners today with a S&P Spider exchange-traded fund holding about 4% higher, and this after earlier hitting an intraday high that was its best level since September 2008. And U.S. Treasury yields continued their very steep climb today with a two-year note yield around 0.92% and the benchmark 10-year yield at 2.14%. And, of course, the market's continuing to expect a Fed rate hike in the month of December, with the market expectations now hovering at a 76% chance. And overseas, Mexican and Brazilian equities fell sharply, along with most other emerging markets. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei 225 rose nearly 7%, while European equities were lower, with a pan-European Stoxx 600 index slipping about 0.4%. Dow Transports were up about 2%, and they hit a more than one-year high, led by Avis, which was up about 5%. U.S. crude oil for December delivery fell 1.38%, settling at $44.66 a barrel. Gold futures for December delivery fell $7.10 to finish at $1,266.40 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were both financial stocks, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, and your two worst performers were Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Kohl's and CSRA Corporation, and your worst performers were NRG Energy and ConAgra Foods. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 70 cents at 108.14, CSX up 65 cents at 34.53, AEP down $1.52 at 59.73, AK Steel up 39 cents at 7.30, Marathon Petroleum up 24 cents at 43.81, and Kroger was up 71 cents to finish at 32.88. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Your weather for tonight, clear with patchy frost near dawn, lows around 40 degrees. On Veterans Day, that's Friday, sunny, patchy frost early, highs in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly clear, patchy frost late, lows in the lower 30s. On Saturday, sunny with patchy frost in the morning and highs in the lower 50s. In Ashland right now, it is 62 degrees, Flemingsburg 60 degrees, Inez 60 degrees, Lexington 61 degrees, Winchester 60 degrees, and here in Morehead on MSU's campus, it's 60 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Will Clark. And with our feature commentary, MSU Professor Rick Carrick. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered from NPR is next. It's 5 o'clock.